biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. And my rock star today, Baron Murdoch. He's the CEO of Greenbox Laundry and Greenbox Ventures. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So first of all, tell me about your business.
Oh, Greenbox Laundry. We are the on-demand, healthy living made easy, made convenient with Greenbox Laundry. So it's the concierge of an on-demand app, similar to the other competitors that were in the market, such as a Washio or Rinse. We have a proprietary locker system, which we'll roll out probably in the first quarter of next year. But right now, we'll have the app and the on-demand pickup of your dry cleaning and fluff and fold laundry.
So non-dry cleaning items as well?
Yeah, yeah. Fluff and fold is the biggest piece of business.
Got it. That's the term
in the lingo in the industry.
Yeah. I love it. Fluff and fold. Fluff amazing. And, fold, yeah. Yeah. And as you mentioned, you do have some competitors in the space. So the most important thing is to have a key differentiator. So tell me what that is for you guys.
Our differentiator is the fact that we're green. So we have eco-friendly products that we use to wash our clothes. We have environmentally friendly cars and vans that we drive around and pick up and drop off the clothes. So the goal is that we innovate throughout the process where we reduce the carbon footprints of the users of our products, as well as the staff that we have, and we create opportunities.
And you were telling me off camera that it's really important for businesses to have a theme that drives a lot of the decisions you make. Sometimes the little details, like you were telling me that you even think about the way you package the clothing. So tell me about, first of all, this concept of theme and how it translates to your business.
Okay. Well, the concept of theme is you have to give give all your customers something that they can remember and connect your product to. So we're not just a laundry, we're a green laundry. We're not just any green laundry, we're one that uses the most environmentally friendly products to wash your clothes. We typically only use cold water. The reason being because there's no discoloration. There's a less usage of gas and basically other things that basically would affect the environment and increase the cost. So from the standpoint of the customer, it's the idea of being able to save time as well as do something good for the environment.
So how did you come up with this idea?
Well, it's an idea. I thought about the laundry business years ago when I was in the investment business. And I had a conversation with Sam Zell, who's in the real estate business. And I saw Spin Cycle and I said, why don't we create in the inner city neighborhood something, an alternative to Spin Cycle? And at that time, I really hadn't refined the idea. So it was the wrong timing. But I think having access in the investment business to high level individuals in the real estate business, that gave me an understanding of, okay, this is one particular market where if they have portfolios of commercial real estate, be it residential or commercial, you could potentially put our lockers inside of their buildings.
Is the locker a must-have in order to be a member of this? Is that how it works?
Or
take me behind the scenes a little
behind
bit of how
scenes.
It works.
Okay. Yeah. The lockers are not a must-have. But actually, the lockers are a touch point where basically we would have our locker kiosk sometimes under the dead space underneath an escalator in a commercial office building or in a parking garage, such as in Beverly Hills.
To make it super easy.
So you throw all your dry cleaning in your trunk and then you walk out out of your garage, walk over to the locker. It has biometric sensors. So you could use your thumbprint or your app on your phone. Access the open locker. Inside of the locker, there'll be a Greenbox Laundry bag. You'll send a message to let them know that you just dropped something in the bag. And within a couple of days, you'll get a message to say you can pick it up either at your home, your office, or back at that locker or another set of lockers that may be closer to you.
Wow. Yeah. So convenient and helpful, I'm sure. So from an operational standpoint, what is it all take to execute this?
Okay. From an operational standpoint, it's a matter of basically, we look at, you take in all the clothes, basically. You have drivers that go out and pick up all the clothes. Then we have teams that basically sort the clothes. And then after we sort the clothes, we wash them or send them out to the dry cleaner partner that we have in whatever market we're in. But also the uniqueness about our process, inside of the cinches of the laundry bag, we have RFID trackers, basically. So we can always keep track of where your product is. So there's never a question of, where is my laundry?
I'm sure that's a common question. Yeah. Is my laundry going to get lost? Yeah. But you have a system for that.
We have a system. And the other thing is we always wash every person's laundry separate from everyone else's. So you never have the concern of, is my laundry being washed with everyone else's? No, it's not.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that's a common question too. Right. But yeah, your fears are answered there. Right. Where they, you don't have to worry about that. That's a good thing. So take me back to your background and all those experiences that have led up to this point.
Okay. Well, being in the investment business for over 10 plus years, we're on one side of the capital markets. So as a financial advisor, you're advising clients. You're looking at companies that are public or private, but you're dealing with entrepreneurs. And as an investment advisor, you're seeing these are the people that are really in control of what happens. So after being in that side of the business and taking a corporate position later on in Walmart and seeing the largest corporation in the world and seeing how you manage large scale operations, how you manage large numbers of people. And I said, well, if with technology infused in whatever you're doing, you're able to use less people and maximize your time and make things more efficient. So looking at entrepreneurial type of ventures, you have to say, what market am I going to be in? Am I going to offer a product or service? And how can I use technology to enhance what I'm going to do? How do I build a greater trust and deeper touch points with my customer base?
So give me an example of how businesses can use technology for scaling and just really enhancing what they're offering to their customer.
Okay. Well, in terms of technology, you got to look at how are you using your social media? How are you connecting with your new customers? How are you communicating with your customers? So from the standpoint of our business and on-demand apps, it's a matter of having your customer know all along the process, where is my product?
Yeah.
So not only that, not only where is my product, at what stage of the process is my product? So that kind of completes the loop. People like to know real time, you know, where they're going, when they're going to get there, and what are they going to get at the end of the road? So I think we've answered those three questions.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you worked for Walmart. What are some of the best practices you learned from this huge, massive, number one corporation?
Retailer, yeah, yeah, in the world. The biggest takeaway from my time with Walmart is the data analytics. You have to look at what are the user habits of whatever customer that you have. You have to figure out what are the things that they do the most. And then you make iterations to basically enhance or leverage the things that the customers need or want.
So what are some other ways that you can advise entrepreneurs to pay attention to their customers?
Well, I would say one of the best ways to pay attention to your customer is talk to them. So a lot of times when people get in business, when I was in the investment business, I had corporate clients who were CEOs who left and they, you know, say one client, he bought a set of restaurants. It's about still being in touch with the customer, not being disconnected from the common people. Because if you go out like Sam Walton did and you shake hands with your customers, you shake hands with your employees, and you get to understand these two stakeholders of your business because your employees kind of drive your business and your customers drive it even more. Because those are the people that you're trying to please. So you need to create an environment where employees want to work and you have to create a product or service that the customers want to buy.
Yeah, really listening to them and finding out what specifically they want in that product or service.
Yeah.
So take me back to when you made that leap from working for other companies to starting your own entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate. My dad was an entrepreneur for over 25 years. He was an industrial commercial contractor in the Midwest. So I worked for him during the summer breaks and I graduated from Purdue. So it was a matter of seeing that and seeing that freedom, but seeing a level of success early on in my career that I could understand that it took a lot of hard work. It took a lot of relationship building. And that was something that it was kind of in my DNA just from observing that as a young age. And it was exciting. I mean, to be able to control your day, to be able to have people excited to do whatever it is that you do.
Yeah. So then what was your first entrepreneurial endeavor that you started?
My first entrepreneurial technology endeavor, I created this concierge service. I created a website. It was called clickconcierge.com. So the goal was I had all these different banner ads and I had Netflix on there. I would get paid $9 every time a person click the Netflix as an affiliate marketer. So I learned about affiliate marketing and I had these various services and it was such a broad service that was a challenge. I was unfocused in terms of I was trying to do too many things. And it was ahead of the time when they had on-demand apps. And I just didn't really know how to manage all the things that I wanted to achieve. So fast forward a few years later, the laundry is a little bit more focused. And it is one service that I know that is a need that every person in the country needs. So it's a matter of the quality of the service. And our goal is to be in every major city. So wherever there's a need, there's high-rise buildings, there's busy professionals, we got you covered.
It's very scalable, and we'll talk more about that when we come back with my guest, Baron Murdoch. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. That can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You should go to LegalZoom.com.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley, and welcome to Business Rockstars. My guest today, Baron Murdoch, CEO of Greenbox Laundry and Greenbox Ventures. And you are currently in Los Angeles with your business, but you are expanding to Chicago very soon. So tell me about some of the challenges you faced as you have scaled now to a new city.
Well, actually, one of the biggest challenges is identifying where you're going to locate your facilities. In our instance, we'll have laundromats. So it's a matter of either we're going to partner with existing laundromats or we'll own our own. So it's figuring out what is the proximity of your customers to your closest laundromat. So from a time standpoint, how quickly can we pick up and deliver the product back to the customer?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So how did you overcome that challenge?
Well, The fact that I had moved from Chicago to LA, so I knew a little bit, quite a bit about Chicago. So understanding Chicago is a lot, probably easier to navigate than LA is because it's not so spread out. It's easier to get in and out of downtown.
More of a grid.
It's more of a grid, exactly.
A lot more than Los Angeles is.
Yeah, it's more of a grid. So it's just a matter of strategically identifying where are going to be the clusters of customers that we want to serve. And then we figure out how many plants or how many laundromats do we need to have within proximities of them.
Makes sense. Yeah. So I would imagine you have a lot of employees because there's a lot of people who have to execute this vision. So tell me a little bit about your team and how you make sure that you're hiring the right people.
Yeah. Actually, the goal is the chief marketing officer is Vivian Goh, and she's been tremendous in terms of kind of leading the vision of our technology and our marketing rollout. So from the standpoint of the two people that are making most of the decisions that make the difference, it's myself and her. In terms of the drivers and the technicians that are the people that actually fold the clothes, we may have 25 to 30 people in every market, basically.
So how do you make sure that you're hiring the right people?
Well, the best way is, you know, you got to train them. So that means you have to be able to spend time with them and show them the process of how do we actually want to wash these clothes? How do we actually want to attend to the details of caring for our customer's product? So once they have an understanding of that and we see that they have the aptitude to do it, then we give them a fold test. So we got to get an idea of how they fold clothes. How will they wrap the clothes? So once we understand, you know, all of these aspects, now they pass the test and they can officially be Greenbox Laundry staff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And a really big important thing is aligning employees to your vision.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
I think we have a pretty good process in terms of talking to the various technicians or drivers that we bring in. We try to hire people that have an optimistic outlook, people that have an attention to detail, and people are just happy to be helpful and of service. Because there's one thing that's bad is to be in a service business where you have people that hate to be of service. So I think that's the thing that we have to be able to have the ability to roll up our sleeves and do whatever needs to be done at any given time. And myself and Vivian, we both have the ability to do that. So I think the staff kind of, they see that.
And in general, as an entrepreneur, we're constantly selling our vision, whether it's to our employees or to potential investors or mm-hmm. to our customers. So first of all, it's very important to be clear on that vision, which you would think would be obvious, but isn't always for entrepreneurs.
Right.
So what is your advice to entrepreneurs for getting really crystal clear on that vision?
Okay. I would say the best thing to really get clear on your vision, you got to write things down. And that was one of the things that I learned from my dad at a young age. He was an entrepreneur. He had a yellow notepad with lines on it. It was a legal pad. And he would just take notes, writing down everything that he had to do every day. And I kind of took that away from him in terms of, I learned that from him in terms of sometimes you'll forget what you want to do. But if you take the notes and then you go back, it's about planning. It's about game planning your day, game planning your strategy of where you want your business to go. And if you do that, and if you're able to communicate what that strategy is to your team members that you work with and communicate that to your customers through your marketing efforts and the touch points that you interact with them, then I think you have a machine that's running on both sides. You have the front end and the back end, and they're running in sync.
Yeah, and you are self-funded, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But you've been on the other side before where you've helped with funding with businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
So what advice do you have for businesses trying to get funding and going back to that vision, trying to mm-hmm. sell their vision to a VC or, you know, whatever investor it might be?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough to have Vivian, who is one of the most charismatic people in terms of vision, in terms of I can describe what I want in a pitch deck and she can illustrate it in terms of the vision. We talk about the details and the numbers, but the way that she's able to bring it to life in terms of sharing that with an investor, that is very critical because people respond to images sometimes a lot quicker than words. So if your images and your pitch deck don't really tell the story in a linear fashion that they can follow, it makes it a little harder for them to understand why they should be involved with your business or what they, and then they need to see the numbers. They need to know what are your margins, what are your core costs, and what is the market potential of what you're bringing to the table. And I think those things, I've made a lot of capital introductions for a lot of entrepreneurs, meaning putting them in front of other VCs or investors. So I've got an understanding of what the investors are looking for.
And like you said, I mean, all those things are true, but there's one little nugget you said that I want to talk about a little bit more, and that's charisma.
Yeah.
You know, the intangible. Obviously, you need your pitch deck, you need the visuals, you need X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But then there's this intangible component of having some charisma. And
maybe
it's going to be you that's going to be that person to offer that. Maybe it's going to be your right-hand man or woman.
Yeah.
But making sure that there's someone that really, really lights up when they talk about the business, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's I have a friend who has an energy bar business he's starting, and he has a phrase. He says, you have the business, but you have the show. You can't forget the show, because sometimes it's the enthusiasm that you have about your business. Sometimes that's a differentiator. That's the thing that makes an investor say, wow, I want to be a part of that because it's moving. So everybody wants to be on a train that's moving down the right track.
And you have to believe in it more than anybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how would you describe your leadership style?
My leadership style, it's evolved over time. One of the things that I learned, because I have a heavy voice, a deep voice, and I found out that, you know, if I use humor, it's a little bit more, it's more palatable. And it doesn't sound so, you know, like you're a military driver, you need to do this, do that. So it's a matter of being more, you know, relaxed, being more, you know, finding the fun or the funny in the job, and then able to share, if you're able to share that with your staff or your team, that makes them more relaxed and they're more willing to do the things that are necessary. And nobody wants to be a part of a company that's stuffy and, you know, it's not fun to work at.
So true. It's not so serious. At the end of the day, this is business.
Right.
It's laundry.
Yeah.
We're here to have fun.
Right.
We're here to improve lives.
Yeah.
And might as well enjoy it, right?
Exactly.
Great leadership style. Well, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing all of your business wisdom with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Baron Murdoch, he's the CEO of Greenbox Laundry and Greenbox Ventures. And we are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Oh my gut! We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
United States Navy veteran Jack Holder talks about the first strike on Pearl Harbor.
After the first wave hit, we had construction crews. The Oklahoma, battleship Oklahoma, had turned turtle up. The keel of the ship was up. We had construction crews out there on the bottom of the ship, cutting holes in the bottom of the ship, rescuing seamen trapped inside.
The American Veterans Center protects the legacy and honors the sacrifice of American veterans. To hear more, like us on Facebook.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
So how do you keep your brand relevant? Joining us to elaborate further is our guest, Harmony Krieger, the founder of Pop Your Shop. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. So Harmony, how do we keep our brand relevant?
So there are so many different ways that you really need to be present in the marketplace. You need to know what trends are going on right now. You have to know who your competition is, number one, but what are these trends that are, you know, really happening, and how do you get at the forefront of that trend?
So how do we know about the trends though? Is there like, do we just go on Google? Do we
social
keep our ear
media,
on the railroad?
Our favorite brand. No, I mean, I find everything on Instagram. I mean, obviously, you know, you're looking through, you know, a post, and obviously there are seven other different posts that come out of that one post, right? you really need to know what's going on so you can plan your marketing strategy. So when I do pop-ups, I'm looking at other pop-ups. You know, I'm not scared to compete against them. I'm saying, what are they doing? What can I get inspired from? And that's what brands need to do. They need to be at events. They need to people need to see and touch the product, the service. They need to come in. They need to really feel what the product is, not just a Facebook ad, which is all great. And that's part of, you know, another marketing
but
strategy.
People are hiding behind social media now instead
of
getting face to face, doing events and things like that.
And that's why they hire me.
I love it. And that's your expertise.
I'm experiential, right?
I love
that. I'm taking all of those trends that I find and I'm popping them up into real life. Mm. And that is really what the connection is from human to social media. Because I have to say, I don't love all of the social media out there, but what I do love is really finding these relevant ways to touch my brands.
But you should be on all of them, right? Because it's like
all of them,
not just the in-person events and things like that. Because at the end of the day, the one thing we're all connected to, you do an event, you might have 1,000 people there, but you do the internet and you've got a few billion people that have the potential to see, touch, and feel and hear what your thing is.
You need to be on all platforms. Any brand that's not on all platforms is going to be losing out on a whole other customer base. You have to be on every single social media outlet there is as a brand. And then when I do a post and I have all of my brands included, let's just say it's a collaborative pop-up and I have four different brands, there's about 500 brands that are going to see something that they're doing and want to do it themselves. And that is how the business starts to keep rolling. And that is also how trends are formed, because they want to go one step up. And I'm there to really help them and elevate them to that level. Because there are a lot of brands also out there that think they don't need to be doing this.
That's the problem. Too many of them think that. You know, the six most deadly words in business are, we've always done it this way.
Right.
And so you go into these old school people And they're like, well, I don't need that social media stuff. Or, oh, we have a page. They've got like 6 likes. And so they're not doing anything to be engaging on there. I think another thing you can do on social media is follow the influencers. And by following people like maybe a Gary Vaynerchuk or somebody like that, he's always going to be posting what he thinks is the new trend. Like way before Twitter blew up, he was like, Twitter's the next thing.
Yes.
Same thing with YouTube. He's always on the cutting edge.
There's always someone that's going to know more than you. That's how I say
it. So try to follow those people, right?
Try to follow those people. I follow them all. So another part of my business that I'd love to mention is that I actually bring in influencers to host these pop-ups.
Okay.
So I find somebody in the fashion sector, somebody in the beauty sector, somebody in the tech sector that is at the forefront of what they do on trends, and I bring them in to really host this event. So maybe the brand gifts them, or maybe the brand, you know, hires them to be like a brand ambassador for the evening. Yeah. But that is driving all of the social media. So that is really this built-in package that I offer because I have a huge network of influencers that I work with.
How do you get the influencers though? Because I think that's where people struggle.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can hear it all day long. Do this, do this, do this, do this. But at the end of the day, the reason why companies aren't successful, the reason why people are obese is not because they don't know what to do or how to do it. It's just because at the end of the day, they're not taking action for whatever that is, something between their ears, whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
How do people effectively and properly and strategically and elegantly get these influencers to show up? You're doing it now, so you gotta have some good advice on that.
Yeah, I mean, you really need to tap into who that influencer is and what they represent. So it can't just be a fashion blogger attached to a fashion brand. It's, you know, what are their posts every day? What is the engagement level? Because as we know, there are a lot of influencers out there that aren't really, that just are buying followers.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other conversation. But the way I find them is I really connect with them. I go out to these events. I find who they are. And I really have a conversation and say, wow, I have a brand that would love to bring you in. Would absolutely love it. And they want to be a part of that. They want to represent something that they feel passionate about.
Yeah, but is that to get paid or is that a combination?
It's a little bit
of both. It just depends.
It's a little bit of both. I always say know your worth, right? And really there aren't any discounts when you are, when you really, really have a worth that people want. Yes, they may want to get paid because that's their business. But they also, I have to say, the network that I have, I've never seen an influencer that takes a job or takes like as a brand ambassador that is not passionate about the product.
Passion has been the one thing that we keep coming back to and back to.
It's like, I can use it for everything though, right? Because you can really use passion in every part of your life. And as an entrepreneur, I feel like it's all encompassing because it's got to be with your friends. It's got to be what you do. You got to do it with exercise. I mean, I also teach a workout. So I'm like, I know what it's like to really have it and then not. So you better love what you do because you're doing it all day long.
Well, I know you love what you do. Yes. We're talking about how to be relevant with your brand and your company. Joining us to elaborate on that is Harmony Krieger. She's the founder of Pop Your Shop. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Harmony, we're crushing it right now
and
how to stay relevant. Let's talk about social media though, because for me personally, that's one of the ways that I've been relevant is I use social media to get into publications like Forbes, Entrepreneur, Huffington Post, Wall Street Journal. And so I'm leveraging social media, paying to put ads, like just content. It's not an ad. I'll pay to put my Forbes article in front of the people that are journalists and work at Entrepreneur and all these different things. So what other ways can we use social media to stay relevant?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting you say, because that really is what you need to do now.
Yeah.
As I was saying before, you know, a website you have to have for your content, but everybody who finds me is through Instagram.
I know you're crushing it on Instagram.
It's like, I love it. I love and I'll tell you why. And it's very interesting because for me, it's super organic. I'm proud of a pop-up that I'm doing. I'm showing how it's done, you know, from the day we get in there to do the build out to the middle of how it all comes together. People are thinking it's not going to happen. Here's like the midway point. Then here's like, moment.
It's so you're transparent about the whole process.
I'm very transparent.
And that's why people love it.
Yeah. And I'm so organic with it because there's always going to be something that doesn't work. So like you said, you know, staying relevant on social media is the most important because guess what happens? If you post something 3 months ago or 3 days ago, let's be real, it's old news. You
If you posted something this morning, it's old news.
So if someone sees a pop-up that they like that I've done, they'll go back and say, oh, I like something like this, but what have you done in the last week? You know, it's funny.
Wow.
So you have to really keep that information relevant. And then along the way, you know, throw in some other stuff that's inspiring.
Yeah.
Not everybody just wants to see, you know, a collection of your work. They want to know who you are.
Okay.
Okay. And I always say, okay, it's, you know, it's Friday, you know, and I'll post something about like the desert and I want to take a trip, get me out of here, you know, because that's real.
Let them know you're human.
Yeah, it's real. And yeah. People want to know you're real. And okay. That, and I mean, you're probably the same exact way. Yeah, you want to get into Forbes and of course, you know, your article and yeah. everything
but
about
But at the end of the day,
you.
I'm human.
But meeting you right now, yeah. I would say, okay, if I didn't get to meet you, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Everything else I just learned.
Yeah.
But you know, so it is that human connection and you can do it on social media. You yeah. can be real on social media. So get on it.
What are some mistakes you see people make? I personally see people either A, not doing what we just said, which is being transparent, being yeah. authentic, and B, they're doing their content wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating content that they think people yes. want to hear versus creating content that people said they want to hear.
Absolutely.
And it's the same mistake people in business make. They create a product because they think the product's going to be good
yes.
versus there's already demand and they're trying to serve it. So what do exactly. you think are some mistakes you see people make on
yeah,
social media?
And every entrepreneur will say that the only successful ones are the need that you're filling. There's a void yeah. in the marketplace. So for me, when I was creating Pop Your Shop, I'm like, okay, well that could be an extension of an event, but what am I creating? I'm creating this short-term social buzz yeah. around the product that they would have spent thousands and thousands of dollars to do an advertisement in a magazine and maybe get three or four people in the store, where I'm creating this buzz and experience where not only is it paid buzz, yeah. but guess what? They are selling their product. So they're creating extra revenue that they might have just spent on marketing dollars with no revenue. Yeah. So it's very interesting, but some of the mistakes.
It's like a magic pill.
It's a magic, right? If I can just take that and just everything would be perfect in the world.
It would be.
But some of the mistakes I do see is content. So, you know, you're posting 50 hashtags, which are not even relevant to yeah. what you are doing. So even, I mean, I've seen words like the, hashtag the. You know, the store. You
Some
know,
old person who doesn't know anything about hashtags.
I mean, and I see it all the time. And then also, you know, having followers that are not relevant. Mm-hmm. I make sure I go through and I kind of weed out who is following me
yeah.
Because I really want it to be businesses and influencers and products and people that are really relevant, not just ones that kind of click on one.
You don't want 45,000 followers from India at a click farm. I'd rather have 1,000 legit followers
exactly.
than when I post something.
It needs
relevant.
To be legit. And I have to say, from those posts, I've gotten 90% of my new business.
Wow.
And somebody just saw a post that I did last week and they just said, you know, can you do a pop-up for me? I'm launching yeah. a skincare brand. I need an influencer and I'll just present that picture to them. And they want to see the picture that you post.
Yeah.
That's the funny part, right? They don't know how you get there, but they want to see the end result.
Something that I love that you keep saying is connection, connection, connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really how you stay relevant. What do you think are the one or two or three things that really help create that thriving environment of a connection?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because I will always do follow-ups after that to kind of get some feedback.
Always trying to improve.
Yeah, and for people that have attended, what did you love? Yeah. What was that engagement? Of course, I always have like some sort of interactive, you know, photo booth or something where people could post,
yeah.
obviously, because that is the return, right, for the brand.
If they're having fun, they're going to want to share
They're holding the product. They want to post. They're showing their friends. And then that just increases all of the numbers for the brand. So it's just, everything is really integration.
Yeah.
So I say the connection is get to know who that person is walking in the door. Get to know their profile. I have everybody put their Instagram down when they walk in the door.
Okay, so then you can tag them in it?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then also, yeah, so I can send them, you know, I can post a future pop-up and I could tag all of them and they can just say, cool, you know, like it doesn't hurt for a tag. They want to know what they are and it's better than a newsletter and it's better than anything else you can do. So really connecting. And then I follow up. I send out some like, you know, I mean, not like an email blast, obviously that's old school, but I send something out to let them know I'm so appreciative that you came.
And that makes the difference, just sending them a letter or a handwritten thing or anything like that.
And from that, I refer so much business. I can't even tell you.
Business comes back from doing that?
Unbelievable. If I had to open up another business, it would be a concierge business. Because if I got a dollar for every referral I've ever made.
You'd be rich. I love it. So the key to being relevant for your brand or your company is being consistent, being out in the marketplace, consistency, whether that's social media posts, putting content out, or doing events.
Yeah.
And not only is it consistency, but it's building the connection. Harmony?
Yes.
You are a wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, really.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day. Watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Wow, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Chuck Woolery here for Blue Emu. How many pain relief ads do you hear daily? 5, 10, 15? And of course, all of them claim their new ingredient or their new formula will help. Blue Emu has maintained the same quality year after year and continues to be the number one branded emu oil product. So don't trust hype. Trust Blue Emu to support healthy muscles and joints. Choose Blue Emu pain relief products. They work fast and you won't stink.
Available at retailers nationwide.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Looking for a smartphone upgrade? Introducing the LG G8 ThinQ. So what is ThinQ? Spelled T-H-I-N-Q. We asked Ash Mollet from LG.
We've really delivered what I'll call a refined, minimalist design. We have enhanced front and rear facing cameras. We always have the incredible audio experience that LG has been known for.
And this smartphone comes with LG's artificial intelligence platform called, you guessed it, ThinQ.
It's LG's overarching platform that connects our home appliance, home entertainment, and mobile businesses with an AI platform that, you know, is going to make everyday usage of all of those types of appliances, TVs, and phones a really seamless process.
Go to your local carrier for rates and find out more on LG's G8 ThinQ.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
How do you turn viewers into customers? I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. My guest today is Brandon Lucero. He's the founder of Sold with Video. Brandon, good to have you here, brother.
Yeah, happy to be
here.
All
right, so what's the secret? How do we turn those views into customers? You know, whether you've got a million views online, it means nothing if you're not making money from it. So how do you do it?
Well, the first step is obviously getting them off of YouTube. You can't sell anything on YouTube, but what you can do is establish a relationship, become the authority, become the person that they know, like, and trust. And then we funnel them off of YouTube. And once they're off of YouTube, there's a whole slew of things we can do depending on the product that you sell. So for me and a lot of the people we work with sell online digital courses, or they sell, you know, digital products and things like
Which
that.
Which is one of the fastest trending industries right now,
oh, yeah,
is the coaching, education, online space.
Yeah.
People trying to sell some type of education product. So that's the space you focus on?
It's a $1 billion business or industry. So
it's just exponentially growing.
And it's growing super fast. So that's where we're starting to focus a lot of our time. But, you know, local businesses can do the same thing. But it all starts with figuring out the topics that your audience, the people who are going to buy from you, are searching for, creating that video that they want. And at the end of the video, we have a call to action, which gives them more relatable value to what you were just talking about. So if it's a local business and you're talking about your business, you can offer them some kind of incentive to come in, or give them some kind of reason to come in, tell them to click the link to go wherever. If you're an online brand or an online business and you're selling a digital course, you can offer like a lead magnet. Again,
what would a lead magnet be? Just for, I don't know what a lead magnet is, so explain it to me.
So if I did a video on how to rank a video and I gave them the 7 steps to ranking a video, I could say, hey, here's an advanced training video that goes a little more in depth to show you how to do each step.
Okay.
Click the link and opt in. Enter your email address and I'll email it over to you for
free. So I'm interested in cooking, you provide me a cookbook.
Exactly.
It's a lead magnet.
Recipe card. It's some kind of information that people will give you their contact information to get.
Okay.
So it's like, and then
so
honestly,
free information for a specific target. Ideally, it's a product to market match or a free piece of information for a specific audience who's already raised their hand and said they want it.
Yep.
You pay to put that in front of them. It's going to attract the lead. Calling it a lead magnet.
Yep.
And ideally, they're going to give you some form of information, typically their email.
Yeah, typically the email. And then once you have their email, it's, and there's so many things you can do. So you can upload.
But what's the best thing to do?
The best thing to do, Facebook remarketing.
And you take the email, or ideally 1,000 emails to have a certain level of variance. And you take those 1,000 emails or more and upload them into custom audience into Facebook ads.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can duplicate that audience and find more people like them?
Exactly. Look-alike audiences. So our highest converting traffic is always YouTube traffic because it starts with search. There's a problem, a need, or whatever. Once we have that list, we can give it to Facebook or even YouTube and run YouTube ads to them and just say, hey, these people, I want to turn into customers, let me run ads to them. And they go, okay, yeah, sure. Boom. And let you run ads.
So ideally, it's like, hey, these 1,000 people showed the most interest in what we have. I wish there was another 1,000,000 people like this.
Yep.
There are. You just take those emails, plug them in, and based on all of those users, it tries to duplicate them in a lookalike audience.
Exactly. So you can say, hey, here's 1,000 people that are interested
in
what
cheating.
It is like cheating. It's so easy. It's like impossible to
lose money.
Having
a major advantage.
Yeah. But here's the beauty of it. So we can take those 1,000 people and create a lookalike audience and tell Facebook, hey, create 1,000,000 people that are identical to them. But we can take it a step further and say, out of those 1,000 people, 250 turn into customers. Mm. Then we take those 250 and turn them into a lookalike audience too. These are people that actually bought from us.
Okay, so leads versus purchasing clients.
Yeah, exactly.
You want both? Put the leads in the nurturing funnel,
right? You want both. Yeah, exactly. You want both. Facebook monitors everyone's behavior and purchasing behavior. So they know that they're going to find, 250 people that are interested in what you sell, and their behavior shows that they purchase things online.
Okay.
And so that 1,000,000 people now became 10 times more effective, 10 times more likely to turn into a customer.
So when people are trying to focus more on getting views than they are on getting targeted views that convert, what do we say to them? Because nowadays we live in an industry or a economy and a society where people develop their self-worth and their personal brand based on views. I know so many people that have millions of views on YouTube, yet they're making under $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, the views doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What you do with those views and how you convert them into people that you can serve and provide value to through the form of selling them your products and services, that's what matters. So what's the biggest problem you see with people with not converting people? They focus more on the views.
They focus more on the views, which attracts a wide range of people, which you have no idea who they are. Like the funny cat video is gonna attract the grandma, the little kid down the street.
80 million views, but there's no money.
Exactly. So, and that's what I tell people, is you don't need a big YouTube channel to make a lot of money. So on my channel, for example, we probably do maybe 100,000 views a month, which is, I mean, it's good, but it's not bad. But those are 100,000 people that are struggling with what I offer, what my service is, what my product does. So we're able to turn all of that into a multiple six-figure, on pace to do seven-figure business off of relatively small channel, but because it's very, very targeted, and it's a lot of very targeted people who I know what they're struggling with. I know what their problems are.
Okay, so it's not about the amount of views, it's about the quality of the views and how you can convert them. Brandon Lucero is my guest today. He is the founder of Sold With Video. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Again, Brandon Lucero is joining us right now. We're talking about how to convert views into money.
Yep.
So, you know, we talked about people focus too much on the views versus a smaller amount, which would be better. Obviously, a large amount of targeted views is great, but the views isn't what's important.
Yep.
It's about in having targeted views that convert into money by having strategic call to actions.
Yep.
And as we talked about, right, contextual congruency, the call to action for whatever this video is about needs to be something just like that, ideally for, you know, the next step. Hey, if you enjoyed this, let me give you a little bit more.
Yep, exactly. So, and you hit the nail on the head there with the congruency. It has to be congruent. So we need to get those views off of YouTube so we can then remarket to them or get them down our sales funnel or email list, whatever. So we always use the recap problem solution. So, you know, if I owned an online baking school, I might create a video called like how to make a perfect chocolate chip cookie. At the end, I say, hey guys, those are the 5 steps of creating the perfect chocolate chip cookie, but you still need the perfect ingredients. Otherwise, it's not going to taste good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you my best tasting ingredients. Just click here, enter in your email address, and I'll send it over to you. So it's congruent, and we gave a little recap. We created another problem, and then we had a solution, which was our call to action, which is all congruent back to what the top of the video was.
Brandon, always full of wisdom, brother. I appreciate you.
Yep.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.